Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused, and let Word of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these people here today. We thank you, Lord God, for your spirit, your power, your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your ability and what you can do, Lord, and things that we can't do anything about, you can do something about. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch right now. Father, those who are in need of prayer. Father God, we want to take this moment to give to you, Lord, that we may be able to bring them before you. Father, there are some that are sick, Lord, and we want to pray for them. Father, there's some that have been shut in, some, Lord God, in the hospital, some that are right here among us. Father, that they need prayer. And Father, we pray that your hand would touch them, that you would guide them, that you, Lord God, with the finger of God, would heal them of their infirmity. Father, in Jesus' name right now, Father, whatever their afflictions are, we know, Lord, that you can deliver them from all of them. Father, no matter what the weapon is that is formed against them, we know, Lord, that that weapon shall not prosper according to your word. Father, we thank you now, God. Lord God, that you'll deliver us, you'll keep us, Father. You'll bless us, you'll hold us, you'll hide us in your pavilion, and that, Lord God, we'll be encamped about by the Spirit of God. We thank you now, God. We give you glory. Father, right now, I pray that you touch those that are having surgery, Father. We pray that you would touch them now, Father. And Lord God, whatever you do, Lord God, that you would steady the hand of the doctor. Father, that you would hold his hand and you would guide him, Father, that he would be able to bring about the miracle that you want to happen in their life, Father. In the name of Jesus, use us, Lord. Use mankind to bring forth your will. In the name of Jesus right now. Father, we declare with your stripes we're healed. Father, we declare that we believe the report of the Lord, that you've borne our sickness and our griefs. You've lifted them up, Lord God. And Father, we now walk in victory. In the name of Jesus. Father, it's your will that we prosper. And Lord God, I pray that as I preach today that there be prosperity in it. Father, that you would help us with the word of God, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the heart of the hearer be the tablet in which I shall write upon the day the word of faith, the word of God that brings power, peace, prosperity, healing, and deliverance to all that hear and believe. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the person on the right and the left. We thank you, Lord God, for our family and our children. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for all that are here and assembled, Lord God. And Father, we give you the glory, honor, and praise. And when you've done what you want to do, we want to give you the glory. We want to praise you, and we want to join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want to use that particular part of the text to give you my thought this morning. And I want you to know today God is concerned about you. Amen? But I want to use for a thought this morning, what are you doing here? Amen? What are you doing here? In a wilderness place, he allowed him to be fed of ravens. He allowed him to be watered when nobody else had water. And when it dried up, he sent him somewhere else, huh? God did this for the man. Lord, help me today. But one little lady with a big mouth made him so fearful that he went into the wilderness and he wished to die. He got to a place of depression. His distress led to depression. He went by himself and it got worse. And that's why it's important for us to be in the numbers. Safety in the multitude. It's important for us to be paired up, because when we pray the prayer of agreement, God answers. It's important for us to be paired up, because he said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I'm God in the midst. Lord, help me today. Help me, God. And so they went. He went to sit up under this juniper tree. This tree was about maybe 10 foot tall. It cast a shadow for him to be able to rest. He went up under the juniper tree, and he said, I want to die. And verse 4 said, and he said, it is enough now. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He said, Lord, I've had enough. Have you ever said, Lord, I had enough? Have you ever said, enough is enough? He said, I'm not better than my fathers. He said, Lord, you take my life. You see, Elijah, some people say that he was suicidal. No, he wasn't suicidal, because he didn't want to take his own life. He said, Lord, you take me. Amen. He said, Lord, you take me. And he remained. If he wanted to kill himself, you know, some people, oh, he was suicidal to try to make it all real and becomes like a psychiatrist to you. He said, Lord, I want you to take my life. I'm no better than my father's. And he lay and slept under the juniper tree. So what was he saying? Lord, I'm going to fall asleep and let me just wake up in heaven. I'm tired of what's going on right now, and I need you to just take me out of this. How many times have we said, Lord, just take me out of a situation? How many times have we got so depressed and so down that all we wanted to do was be alone and sleep? Help me, Holy Ghost. How many times that that's all we want to do? We found us a place to rest. We found somewhere to get shaded so that we can get a little bit of rest. And look at this. He says now in verse 5, and he lay and slept under the juniper tree, but then an angel touched him, and he said unto him, arise and eat. He went out there without any food. He went out there hoping that he would die. He didn't take any food, hoping that the Lord would just take him. His mission was to go die. But God had another plan for him. And we need to know that sometimes your mission may not be what God wants for your life. So you have to come to the acceptance that at some point God will send an angel. In this case, he sent an angel in blue and silver this morning to let you know that you need to get up and eat. A messenger. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about a winged angel. I'm just a messenger to you that we need to get up. I came to touch your life this morning and tell you arise and eat. And look, he woke up. How am I going to eat? I didn't bring anything out here. How am I going to eat? I didn't bring anything to eat, to cook. I haven't killed anything. I hadn't found nothing. But then he looked. Verse 6. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals. Do you know the Lord will prepare it for you already? You don't have to do it yourself. Do you know that God already gave somebody something to bless you with? You wondering how it's going to work out. You trying to figure it out, but God has already worked it out. Do I have anybody here that say, I've been down in the dumps preaching. I know what you're talking about, but I'm waiting on you to give me something to eat. And I came to give you this word to eat on this morning. I came to give you this word, the water of the word to drink on this morning. Look at what it says in verse 6. He said that he had a cake baked on some coals, and he had a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and lay down again. This is what happened. He had a cruse of water at his head. That was to refresh him. He had some. He had a cake baked on some coals. That was to strengthen him. And so what am I saying? That the messenger ought to bring you a word that refreshes you. The messenger ought to bring you a word that strengthens. I wish I had somebody here. But look, even with the strength from the word and the refreshment from the water, it did not move him from his position of wanting to just stay under the juniper tree and sleep. I feel that. Come on and say amen. Because sometimes I can preach and I feel good about what God is saying, and sometimes people don't want to move from where they are, like we're doing this morning. Some of us don't want to move from the juniper tree and realize God has sent you a word to strengthen you. Some of us don't want to be refreshed and not realize God has given you the spirit to refresh you, to let you know this word that he's giving you this morning, that you are on his mind, that he wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to pick you up from up under the juniper tree. He wants to wake you. I came to touch you. I came to shake you. Tell your neighbor, wake up. God has prepared something for you, and you need to accept what God has for you. He didn't just deflect it. He went on and accepted it, but he still didn't move. Sometimes we can get a word from the Lord, and it don't move us like it needs to move us. Sometimes we can get a word from the Lord, and it doesn't make us want to go off and do what we're supposed to be doing. Elijah was a prophet to the nations. He shouldn't have been under the juniper tree. This was a time right now for him to be back preaching, because he just got the people to repent. But instead of him going preach to them, he ran off and left them. And what else would a people do except go back into adultery? Because where's the preacher that's brought us here? Where's the one that gave us the word? Where's the one that helped us to recognize that God is God? He's not here, so we might as well go back. Oh, come on and say amen. Do you know that it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and here it was, the rain coming. It hadn't done anything. Come on and say amen. It was famine time. It hadn't done anything. And the Bible says, look at this. The Bible says that he laid down again. But verse 7, look at what verse 7 says. God will not just leave you alone. How many know that you can keep on trying to do what you want to do, but God's going to keep on reminding you to do what he said to do? Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. So we understand that what we got to envision is what God wants us to see. But then the encounter, we can't ignore the encounter with God. We can't ignore the encounter with the word. We can't ignore it, because the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. I don't care where you are in life. Do you know that God knows where you are? Elijah was in the wilderness. He went a day's journey in the wilderness, but the Lord sent an angel to him, a messenger, to let him know that I know where you are, son. Oh, come on and say amen. And he touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. We need to understand something. When God is trying to give us a word, you need to go ahead and eat that word. Go ahead and receive that word, because you don't know what the journey might bring. We don't know what's ahead of us. And so we can't make it all by ourselves. And God is saying, you can't make it all by yourself. He said, but I'm giving you something to carry you through the journey. Do you know life is a journey? And then this life that we live in is a journey. And so we got to have the word of God. We have to encounter the messenger and the message of God. I wish I had somebody. He said, the journey is too great for you to handle all by yourself, but you need to learn how to handle the journey through the word of God. And so he, guess what he did? He obeyed the messenger. He arose in verse 8, and he did eat and drink. And he went and on the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights under her. Up. In other words, that's the Sinai Mountains and the Mount of God. And so guess what happened here? Now, he ate the food and he drank the water, and it was enough to carry him for 40 days. I wish I had somebody. I don't know about you, but you might need to get this word this morning, because it may take you for 40 days. You may need to get this down in your spirit, because I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks that God is trying to tell somebody to wake up and get from up underneath the tree. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And it says in verse 9, and he came thither into a cave. Now, here's Elijah. Now, God just got you from up under the tree. He just gave you enough food to carry you for 40 days. And now you're looking for somewhere else to go hide out. Come on and say amen. God has given you a word, and you won't go and take that word to people. You won't go love them. You won't go help them. You won't forgive them. You go right back to your place of hiding. Amen. He said in verse 9, and he came to the cave, and he lodged there. He stayed there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? We need to understand something, that God is sending encouragement to us. We envision the bad. We envision the worst. We encountered the angel, the messenger of God, with the message, and we partook in what he had. But then we need some more encouragement, and here it comes. He says, the word of the Lord came to him this time. It wasn't just a message. It was the man himself, Jesus Christ. He said, the word of the Lord Lord came. And how do you know it was Jesus? Let's read a little further. And he said in verse 10, now he said, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, and verse 10 says, and he said. And so who is the word? The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the word in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning, he made everything. Nothing that was made was not made without the what? Word of God. So who is the word? Jesus said, I am the word. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, he came to him, and look at what it says in verse 10. I have been very jealous for the Lord. He came in verse 9, and he said, I've been jealous for the Lord. And look at this. He said, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Lord have mercy. He begins to complain because there's ministry to do. Oh. He began to complain because, you know, we want a minister. We want to do the work of the Lord, but we complain because there's work to do. Lord, it's just me trying to do this. Well, you've been praying, God, give me something to do. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He said, I've been jealous for you, Lord. The children, other folks ain't doing what they're supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm the only one left, and I don't even want to stay. Ain't that something? And that's just like us. We want God to use us, but when God began to use us, now Elijah had just saw the power of God. He was so confident in the chapter before. He was so powerful in the chapter before. But all of a sudden now, he don't want to be powerful anymore. He don't want to be used of God anymore. Isn't that something, that one chapter you can be powerful and the next chapter you can be a peon? That's how it is in our life. We can see God move so powerfully in our life one day, and the next day we don't feel so powerful. We can see God do some anointed stuff in our life one day and bless our life. We know God is with us. We know he's on our side. We know he's doing what we ask him to do. But then the next day we feel like we ain't even saved. Am I preaching to anybody? Y'all let me know. I'm preaching to me then. And so he said, Lord, I'm the only one. But then he said, who is he? The word of the Lord spoke, verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand on the mountain. In other words, God does not use people to just land around doing nothing. You got to be moving for the Lord. And while he was laying under the tree, God said, move. When he went in the cave, God came and told him, now, move. He said, come out of the cave. Go to the mouth of the cave. Look at what he says. And stand before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great wind. Now, we got to understand something here. God passes by. God knows exactly where we are. And the Lord passed by. But Elijah was stationary, just standing there waiting. And the Lord passed right on by. Oh, come on and say amen. And we hollering, do not pass me by. But God just gave you some instructions to come out of the cave. I wish I had somebody. He wrapped his mantle around his head, the Bible says. And he said, go forth, stand in the mouth on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. And look at what happens. God was not in all the dramatics. I know we like dramatics. I know we like to put on, you know, a good show. But God was not in the wind that blew. He was not in the earthquake that shook. Oh, come on and say, man. He was not in the fire that burned. But God was, it was a still small voice. It was something that we didn't expect. And sometimes God will speak to you in a still small voice. We're looking for God to show us a sign by the wind blowing. Lord, blow me this way. We're looking for God to shake some things up. And ain't no shaking going on. We're looking for God to burn something, burn with the fire. And God is not burning with the fire. What happens when God doesn't give you the dramatic? Can you still believe that God is there? What happens when God doesn't do anything that grabs your attention with your physical eye? Can you have faith with your spiritual eye that God is there? Oh, Lord, have mercy. After the earthquake, the fire, there was still a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Now, his mantle represented the anointing of God. He had the mantle with him the whole time. Why didn't he wrap his face in the mantle before this? He had the anointing. What does the anointing do? The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing takes away the burden. The anointing makes a difference in your life. And see, we can be anointed and walk around here and still be sad. We can be anointed and walk around here and still be depressed. We can be anointed and walk around here and still with our head hanging down. But guess what? God is saying, take your anointing and get your anointing all over your face. Come on, get your anointing from, you need to get your mind. Why did he put the mantle on his head and wrapped his face in it? Because sometimes you got to understand that the enemy attacks what's in your head and what's in your face. So he said, I got to get the anointing in the place where the enemy is attacking me. I know this mess is just in my head. I know it's the devil putting thoughts in my head. I hear voices in my head, something telling me to do something else when God says do this. I got to put my mantle on my head. And when he wrapped his head or his face in his mantle, he went out. And see, we can't do anything until we get under the anointing of God. We can't get in God's presence unless there's an anointing. We can't just walk up boldly and say, you know what, I'm here, God. No, we got to go under the anointing. So how do we go to God? By the anointed one, Christ Jesus. By his anointing, we go boldly to the throne of grace, because he has applied or anointed us with the blood of Jesus to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. And so he came out, and he went out and stood at the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God want to know. In other words, God knows that you're there. God knows why you're there, but he wants to know, do you really know why you're there? Why in the world are you here after you know I'm real? Why in the world are you here when you know I can heal? Why in the world are you here when you know I can deliver? Why in the world are you here when you know I can set you free in a moment, in a second? You know I can do anything but fail, lie, and die. So why, oh why are you here? Why are you here when you know I'm on your side? Why are you here when you know no weapon formed against you will prosper? Oh, come on and say amen. And any tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. Why are you here? Why are you here in this state of mind, in this state of spirituality? Why are you here when you know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all? Tell me, why are you here? Do you have an answer when the Lord asks you, why are you here? Can you tell God why you're really there, knowing that God can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or think? Tell me why. Why are you here? Ask your neighbor, neighbor, why are you here? But then guess what Elijah begins to do? And I'm almost done. Elijah begins to go back and rehearse the same words in God's ear that he'd been saying the whole time. I'm jealous for you. The people ain't doing what they're supposed to do. They've forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've slain the prophets with the sword. And even I am left. But I don't understand why he said that, because before he was at Mount Carmel, he met up with one of the king's servants that said, I've hid some other prophets in caves. I fed them from the king's table. He knew he wasn't the only one, but sometimes you feel like you're the only one. Sometimes you feel like ain't nobody else understanding. You feel like ain't nobody else go through, or ain't nobody else going through what you're going through. But I dare you to read the Bible. You'll find out the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but it's happening to all of your brothers that are out there in the world. We need to know that we're not the only ones going through. We need to know that we're not the only ones dealing with sickness and pain. But we need to know that God knows we're not the only one, and that God will supply all I need according to his riches and glory. But look at this. He began to complain, but the Lord ignored his complaint, because in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall Yah anoint king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, he said, I want him to be the prophet in your room. See, God gave him something to do. God said, I don't want to hear the complaints. I got work for you to do. Come on. I don't want to hear all of the belly aching. I got stuff for you to do. Ain't no time to complain. It's time to be out there doing the work of God. Ain't no time to keep talking about what people doing. We keep focusing on everybody else, what other folks doing, what other churches are doing, what other people are doing. The reason I don't do this because other folks are doing that. Forget what everybody else are doing. Look, are you doing what God told you to do? Are you doing the things that God has instructed of you? Do I have any witnesses? Come on and say yes here. He said, now you go anoint some folks. He said, the reason you can anoint them is because you are anointed, because I called you to do this. And so there's more work for you to be done, more than you sitting up here belly aching and complaining. He had rehearsed that thing so much that it was easy for him to tell God what was wrong. Don't you know God knows what's wrong? God knows what the problem is, but God expects you to minister in the problem. He expects you to keep on doing what you're supposed to do in the midst of the trouble. Why are you here today? I'm here to get a word. I'm here to get a refreshing. I'm here to be anointed so I can go preach this gospel to the poor. I'm here so I can heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'm here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen here. Then God gave him a prophecy and let him know. He said, I got this. I got this under control. You worrying about what's going to happen? He said, but I got some people that when you anoint them, they're going to be able to do what you couldn't do. I wish I had somebody here. He said, I got some folks to help you out. You say you need some stuff done. I got some folks when you anoint them. He said that everybody, he said, when Hazael, he said that it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. He said, so now you can't say that it ain't gonna get done, because I'm giving you the anointing to be the father, the mentor of the people who's gonna do it. See, you complaining and you isolate yourself, you can't be the mentor to the people who are gonna make the change. We gotta stop isolating ourselves. We gotta get out there and do the work of the Lord. We gotta get out there and do the work of the ministry, because God wants us to do it. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm encouraged now? Then after this, in verse 18, God said, Elijah, by the way, there are more than you. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, there are 7,000 that you might not have known of. You might have thought you were the only one, but I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee nor kissed up to Baal. Do I have anybody that say, I'm one of those that the Lord can use? Do I have anybody here? Oh, come on and say amen. So he departed thence, and he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat. The first thing he did, he said, I need to find somebody else to prophesy. I need to find somebody else to give this anointing to. Do I have anybody here that say, I need to find my children so I can lay it on them? I need to find some friends so I can lay it on them. Are you laying it on anybody? Better yet, have you laid it on anybody lately? We lay out some other stuff. We lay out some lies. We lay out gossip. We lay out cuss words. But have you laid out the word of the Lord in somebody's life? What are you doing here? Come on out your cave. Come on out from underneath the juniper tree. Come on and do the will of the Lord. After you've done the will, you'll find out Elijah. The Bible said that God came and took him up alive. He didn't even have to die. Even though he wished for death, God said, you've been good. Son, you can't die. I got to come get you because you did what I said do when nobody else would do it. Do you know that God is looking at us and saying, you can't taste the death either. You can't taste the death and die. In other words, spiritually, you'll never die. I got to come get you. And when Jesus cracks the sky, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm encouraged, I'm ready to do it, I envision something different, I encountered the Lord, I know why I'm here now. I'm not here to hide, I'm not here to isolate, I'm not here to go the other way, but I'm here to do the work of the Lord. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Say yes.